The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. In the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Good afternoon, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Good afternoon, Kathy Kayla. I'm doing pretty well, thank you. How are you doing today?
So lovely to speak to you. Anthony, a terror attack was prevented in Hebron earlier today by IDF soldiers stationed in the area. What are the details of the attack?
So what we know is that apparently there was an attempt to stab an IDF soldier and, in fact, a civilian as well, stationed in that area just at the entrance to Kiryat Arba, which for those people who've been around the area will know that it's right next to Hebron. In fact, Kiryat Arba was mentioned in our parasha, Chaye Sarah, where Sarah died in Kiryat Arba. She was buried in Hebron, and that's exactly where this attack took place earlier today. We understand that there was an attempt by a Palestinian man to approach the IDF soldiers who were standing at the entrance to Kiryat Arba with a knife. The knife apparently was quite visible as he approached them, and the soldiers didn't allow him really to get too close so that anybody could be injured or hurt in the attack. And he was shot at immediately, and he was they managed to somehow ensure that he didn't come close to any of those soldiers with that knife of his. And he was neutralized at that point. We understand that he was wounded. He wasn't killed. He was lightly wounded, in fact, and was then taken to Shaarei Tzedek Medical Hospital in Jerusalem for treatment. And that's what we know at the moment. Now, of course, you know, this is a classic situation where because it wasn't a serious incident of any sort, it probably won't make the press, hardly in Israel and certainly not elsewhere around the world. But I think it's just an indication that our IDF soldiers are having to deal every single day with attempts like this to carry out attacks, not only against soldiers, but against individuals. And, you know, all the time that it's not a huge deal. People don't get killed. People don't get injured. You probably won't even get to hear about it. So I think that just because we don't hear about it doesn't mean it's not happening. And, you know, we just have to give a lot of credit to our soldiers who are standing out there in the rain today. We've had rain storms, standing out in rain and shine in order to keep us protected.
Incredible. Anthony, the second round of sanctions on Iran were implemented by the United States today. How have the new sanctions been received?
Well, this is a very interesting one for me, because, of course, we knew that this round of sanctions was coming already some time ago. The United States, you know, already decided quite some time ago that they were withdrawing from the nuclear agreement that had been entered into by the P5+1 countries with Iran.
Yeah, that's
as a
the
result
one that mentioned
of which
this,
there
sorry.
Was.
Anthony, that's the one that mentioned the snapback sanctions, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, as a result of which the sanctions were snapped back.
Yeah,
exactly right. You stole sanctions. The words out of my
sorry,
mouth, Kathy.
I'm sorry.
So, yes, we got the snapback, and the snapback is today. At least one of the rounds of the snapback is today. And the reaction by the Iranians has been mildly amusing, in my estimation, to say the least, because on the one hand, they're trying to be very brave and say, this is of no bother to us. You know, we will continue. We are fighting an economic war. We will be victorious. You know, the United States is simply isolating itself, really, isolating itself in the world economy and in the world in the world of politics. And, you know, the United States will pay the price for all of this. On the other hand, it's interesting that the Iranians launched a military exercise today in order to try to somehow just show some of their military might, in order somehow to try and build a little bit of confidence, I suspect, within the local Iranian community, within the local Iranian electorate, just to show that, you know, despite the fact that these sanctions are being implemented, that Iran still does have its independence and trying to really show its military force and its military might. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that this is hurting Iran in a very significant way. You know, we're talking about sanctions that are covering 50 Iranian banks and their subsidiaries. More than 200 individuals and vessels in the shipping sector have been targeted. Also, Tehran's national airline, Iran Air, more than 65 of its aircraft are being targeted. So this is really very, very significant. This is not something that we could just ignore.
It's very, very interesting.
And So this is really, really substantial. And of course, what it's hitting most and most significantly is Iranian oil sales, you know, and this is really what the Iranian economy is propped up by. And we shouldn't underestimate the impact of this at all.
And you wonder to what extent it's going to push people like back into a lager. You know, people who weren't necessarily pro the regime, but who are anti-sanctions, not for 1 minute, you know, taking a view on the sanctions issue, but just wondering about the effects of it.
That's yeah, the
there's
voice
no
of
doubt
Simon.
That this is going to bring out, you know, the there's no doubt that this is going to bring out the, you know, protective nature. This is going to bring out the people who are trying to be very gung-ho and to go for those who are trying to protect it. You know, you can call it the lager culture. You can call it whatever you like, but there's no doubt that this is going to bring out those people. And also, interestingly, it's bringing out countries like China and, you know, other countries, Russia, who are criticizing these sanctions and feeling that this is not the right way to go. And it's putting the European Union now in a very, very difficult and difficult position and very much in the spotlight, because they have yet to decide exactly what their position is on these sanctions. On the one hand, we heard the Europeans saying that they don't want to be part of the snapback and they don't want to be part of walking out of the Iranian deal. But we know that as a result of the attacks or the, sorry, the, not the attacks, but the planned attacks that were intercepted, that were due to have been carried out on French soil and on Danish soil in particular, also involving Sweden, that some of the countries in the European Union are now very much falling on the side of snapback, on the side of, you know, withdrawing from the Iranian nuclear deal, because they just see the Iranian regime as being one that is undesirable and that should not be supported, not economically and not politically. So a lot of, you know, difficult decisions that are going to need to be made. But in the meantime, there is no doubt that, you know, these sanctions that are implemented today by the U.S. are going to be very hurtful. It's noticeable that Iran has come out immediately accusing Israel of launching a new cyber attack. Can you believe it? Against some of their installations and some of their infrastructure. The Iranian telecommunications minister has said that thanks to our vigilant technical teams that they have somehow managed to intercept this new virus that they claim Israel launched, something similar apparently to the Stuxnet virus as we knew it then. So, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going on where Iran has come out, you know, trying to show that it still has the power despite the fact that these sanctions are being implemented.
Anthony, here's something that's worrying me a bit about these Iran sanctions, is that Iran is a theocracy. The people of Iran do not have a lot of say in who forms their government. It is an Islamic state. When I hear about sanctions, it is ultimately the people of Iran who suffer, but it's not the people of Iran who are making decisions to fund terrorism worldwide.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And in fact, we've seen Prime Minister Netanyahu on more than one occasion come out saying exactly those things and even trying to address the Iranian people in Farsi. And, you know, Israel has a Farsi channel where they do try to get to the Iranian people to make them understand that, you know, what Israel's issue is has nothing to do with the man in the street of Iran, but rather to do with their regime. The thing is that, you know, I think that it is believed in Israel and indeed in the United States and perhaps elsewhere that the only way to get rid of the theocracy is to cause a popular uprising in Iran, something similar to what we saw when the Shah was overthrown all those years ago.
Yeah, that worked out so well, Anthony. Look how well that worked out. That's fantastic.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. But the point is that, you know, if you want to get rid of what's going on with the regime in Iran, then you effectively have to get rid of the theocracy and return it to some measure of democratic rule. And the only way to do it is by some sort of a popular uprising. And we've seen the start of it to some degree when the economic situation was so bad that people were coming out onto the streets and protesting against the regime. And I think that there is a notion amongst Western countries that if that can be fueled a little bit more, that could potentially bring down the theocracy that we see in Iran. So I think that there are more than one or two people going around within the Western countries at the moment thinking that that's really the way to get rid of theocracy.
Very interesting. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has continued with his African initiative by meeting with the Foreign Minister of Ghana in Jerusalem today. We don't have very long, but what's the subject of their meeting?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting story, again, because we know that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been courting African countries in order to try to ultimately get them to support Israel at the major international forums, whether it be the UN General Assembly or other places where, you know, the countries, even small countries, have the same vote as everybody else. And so it just happened that the Ghanaian Foreign Minister Shirley Botchwi has been in Jerusalem today to discuss economic cooperation between the two governments, between Israel and Ghana, and indeed between the business sectors as well. We do know that Israeli business has been very active in many, many African countries, including Ghana, in the construction area and in the area of agriculture, promoting irrigation systems and more scientific agricultural methodologies in order to try to help some of these African countries. And that's really what this has been all about. And of course, in return, Israel would hope that Ghana would support Israel in the international forums when those dreaded votes come up and we find people siding against Israel as they have done up until now.
Yeah. Anthony, that is where we leave it. Thank you so much for standing in for Rolene, and look forward to catching you 7:45 tomorrow with Howard Feldman.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you so much. God bless.